on you. And that's something that we seldom do. It's really a command to do. So thank you, men, for singing that. Just a reminder that right outside the main office, if you're a member, we have the financial statements, the end of the year statements for 2016. If you'd like to look over those before our meeting tonight, I want to encourage you to do so. And then tonight in the meeting, we will present the financial statement for 2016. We'll also, as we have been mentioning several times now, ask the congregation by way of vote to take any of the excess funds above $90,000 and place them in from the general fund into the building fund. And we'll open that up for discussion and vote on that tonight. So don't forget about that. When Grant and the other men who aided him cleaned out the furnace room, there were several items there that might belong to some of you. They're not going to remain there past this week. So if you would like, downstairs in the downstairs foyer underneath the coat rack, there are several items that are there that do not belong to the church. I really hate to throw things away, but we've had some of these things for several years. Coats, too. There's a ton of coats down there. A lot of times they come from children in the Iwana ministry, and for some reason they're not taken. And every once in a while we just take them and take them to the mission or take them to Goodwill or someplace like that. But if you want to look through those things, do so today. Then the last thing, this is the last Sunday that you can pick up your tithing envelopes, and I would encourage you to do that if you've not done so yet. Right in the back foyer as you go out today, to your left, you'll see those sitting there, and there are a number of those left. Now, I always struggle with this. I don't want to get into business type stuff in the morning meetings, and sometimes because of that, I kind of shoot myself in the foot. We're going to institute giving you a monthly update on the building project in the morning service, because a number of folks do not come back for evening services. So we want everybody to be aware. In case you're giving toward that and you don't come in the evenings, you'll know what is going on. But as far as tithing envelopes, we want to encourage you, if you tithe or even give offerings, to use those envelopes. And when I say use them, I mean do not just simply place your offering in the envelope, but write out what you are giving and for what purpose. If you give tithe, if you give faith promise, if you give to the building fund, if you give to the Iwana ministry, that you write on the envelope exactly the amount and the name. Now, I've been told, I don't know how accurate this is, but I've been told that we have people who will not fill those out because they don't want other people to see what they give. Well, there's a little bit of a fallacy there, because we have two men who count. That's required by the state of West Virginia. So they see your tax or your tithing and all giving records. The clerk and the treasurer see your giving records. I do not, but they do. So there are four people in the church that have to see what you give. So the thought, well, I don't want anybody to see. Well, there are some folks that see, but they don't go around telling others what you give. I encourage you to do what I do. When I fill mine out, I just place it upside down on the offering plate so that when it goes through the pews, nobody can see. So it is an important thing, because if you are audited, you will need those records, and your blank or your canceled check will help serve as a proof, but you're really supposed to have two proofs. Also, the church is audited at times. We have a yearly audit by the Brick Street Insurance Company because of our workman's comp obligations, but we've also had three state audits and one federal audit in the times that we've been here. So we do get audited, and we have to make sure that we can prove everything that we do. I know it's a lot of politics and a lot of things that we don't even like to deal with. And if I had ever known all this was involved in ministry, I don't know. I may have reconsidered. I mean, it is a burden. It is a burden. And we have tax books. The laws change for church every year, and it's a big, thick thing. Constant, constant, constant change. And so we are required to keep up with it and to know these things. And that is something I have failed to mention to you. The reason we use tithing envelopes. So if you don't fill them out, I cannot force anybody to do it. But for your own benefit and for the church's benefit, it would be better if you did. So I just want to encourage you with those things today. All right, get past that stuff. Let's get into the good stuff. Let's take our Bibles and get right into it. I want you to go back one more time to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, to our theme verse. Our theme for the year is give yourself. And the theme verse, as we've mentioned all this month, is found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. You see it on the baptistry poster behind me, and it simply says this, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now, if we give God ourselves, then He gets all that is within us. He gets our time, He gets our talents, and He gets our treasures. We've looked at the fact that God has given us a thing called the gift of time. And that gift of time has a distinct beginning point and a distinct ending point. And for some, that gift of time is very lengthy. For some, it is very short. It doesn't matter what the length of your life is. The important thing is this. What are you doing with that gift that God has given to you? How are you using it to please the one who created you? We looked last week at the gifts of the talents that God has given to us. And we noticed in the parable that we used to make application that the five talented person had great value because each talent had extreme wealth connected with it when you look at it from a monetary basis. The person who had two talents still had talents that were extremely valuable. And the person who had only one talent still had a talent that was worth 20 years' wages as far as a monetary value is concerned. So you might look and say, well, I'm only one talented person. That's still of great value to God. And He wants you to use what He has given you to honor and glorify Him. And now this morning we're going to look at this gift of treasures that God has given to us. Someone said this, a quote I read this past week, "An offering is something you give. Tithe is something that you owe." Now, this is a subject that very few people like to hear preached. And quite honestly, I don't know if I've done a disservice in the 12 plus years I've been here, but I rarely speak on giving. I rarely speak on tithing. I do on occasions, but very rarely. I'm not sure if that's wise or not, but do want to touch on this morning. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that good men debate as to whether the New Testament church should tithe. I mean, good men on both sides of that thought, there are many who say, yes, the New Testament church is obligated to tithe. There are many good men who love the Lord, are genuine servants of God, who say, no, the tithe is not to be put as a burden upon the New Testament church. I just want you to consider this because this may surprise you. I'm not going to try to convince you that tithing is for the New Testament church. Just to kind of ease your heart this morning, I'm not going to try to convince you that tithing is commanded by the New Testament. But what I want you to consider is this. As we've looked at this theme, and I go back to the verse, "And this they did, not as we hoped." Paul was talking about a monetary gift that the churches at Macedonia had decided to give to the poor in Jerusalem. And he made this statement in 2 Corinthians 8, too. He said, it's amazing because the churches at Macedonia, Philippi and the other churches, were in deep poverty themselves, and yet they took it upon themselves, even though they were in deep poverty, to give a gift to the poor in Jerusalem. I don't know how large that gift was, and that's not the point. What amazed Paul and his mission team was this. These people went beyond what we were expecting and first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then he said this, it was by the will of God. This is what God had planned all along. Now, we have a number of people who give. I don't have information to who gives in this church. I have done the same thing that Pastor Nisley taught me and Nolan Jackson at Belmont Baptist taught me years ago. He said, do not look at people's tithing records. Don't get yourself involved in that. That is for the clerk, the treasurer, the men who work in our trustees. That's their business. So I have purposely kept myself away from it. But I do believe we have a good number of people who tithe in this church. We have a good number of people who give. Our giving has been good over the years. I mean, just let me be real straightforward. It's been good. And I don't have any qualms with that. And so I guess that's kind of tempered me in saying a bunch of things about it. But it's still part of the Bible, still a doctrine, still something that needs to be taught. And so there may be people here today who struggle. I had a man years ago say to me, I know I should give, but I can't. He said, I can't give because of all the things that have been burdened on our family, not through their wasteful spending, but things that happened because of health issues and other things. So you might be in that position today where you say, well, I would like to give, but I don't really think I can. Well, I just want you to stop and consider what's going to be said today concerning this. The first thing is this, that we're commanded to give ourselves. We see that. I remind you what we saw in Romans 12:1 the other week. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I made the statement that within the body is the soul and the spirit, the whole totality of man within the body. And I think when Paul made that statement to the Romans, that attitude was there. Listen, you are giving your total self. And of course, he confirms that here in 2 Corinthians 8:5. He says, these people went beyond what we expected. They are giving themselves, the totality of themselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, just listen, it says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God, this belongs to God. The totality of my being belongs to God. We see the example that God gave us through our Lord Jesus, Galatians 1:4, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 5:25, 1 Timothy 2:6, and then 1 Timothy 2:14. You find that phrase, he gave himself. He gave himself. 1 Timothy 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He gave himself. Now here's an interesting thing. Stephen J. Cole, pastor of the Flagstaff Christian Fellowship. By the way, I checked out their website. They believe exactly what we believe doctrinally, straight down the line, just like we do. Non-denominational ministry. He does not believe that Christians are obligated to tithe. Now this is what Stephen J. Cole from Flagstaff Christian Fellowship said. He said, aren't you glad that God did not give a tenth? He gave all. Now here's a man that says, it is not for the New Testament church to tithe, with the understanding that we're to give all. See, everything I own, every penny in my pocket, every quarter on my dresser, every penny in my checking account at the bank, does not belong to me and never has. Belongs to him. I want you to hear the words of King David. You say, who's King David? Well, the king of Israel, 40-year reign, who desired very much to be able to build a permanent structure for God's house. David, who'd had that great desire, was told by God, you may not build it because you're a man of war. There's blood on your hands. But I'm going to raise up your son, Solomon, who will be a man of peace, and during his reign, he will build a permanent home. For years, the Jews, hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jews had worshipped in a tent called the Tabernacle of the Congregation. It was a portable structure that went from place to place, and even when Israel settled in the land, it did not always remain in the same spot. David eventually moved it toward Jerusalem or into Jerusalem, and he said, it's just not fitting that I dwell in a house of cedar, in a beautiful palace, and my God's house is a tent. It's just not reasonable. And so he desired to build this house. Well, God said, your son will build it, not you. But what God did allow David to do, and God gave David this, was the plans for that physical structure. So David saw what the temple would eventually look like, and he also gave King David the privilege of gathering the supplies, the majority of the supplies, that would be used to finance the building of this building. And so people gave. Now remember, the economy back then was not based so much on a monetary basis, but on goods. Especially in the early years of the Jews as a nation. They traded in goods. They gave tithe in matters of goods like wheat and fruit and all those kind of things. Eventually, money came into play. That really, you go back to Greg Zork. You talk to Greg Zork about the early days of this country and how we bartered with goods. You know, eventually money came into more of a play, that kind of stuff. It's kind of an interesting study. But anyway, David encouraged the people, challenged the people to give toward the building of the temple, and they did. The people of Israel responded in a great way and gave way, way more than he ever thought they would give. And here's David's response, and this is an important passage. 1 Chronicles 29:14. David said, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" Now here's what I want you to catch. "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." See, David understood a spiritual principle that I need to understand, and so do you, Christian. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Amen. He possesses you, therefore he possesses your car, your house, your time, your talent, your treasures. My friend, Tony Bullock, was my soul winning partner down in Atlanta. Every week, soul winning. He loved it. He kept me accountable. He helped me tremendously in that area. We were assistant pastors, didn't make a lot of money, you know, at that point, had three kids at that point. And so we had a little Chevy Chevette that we used. I drove it into the ground, literally. I mean, ran it till it ran no more. And so once in a while, we would need a better vehicle. And my friend Tony said, "I think I needed a pickup to move something." He said, "Use my truck." I said, "Well, I'm a little bit reluctant to use people's vehicles because I don't, you know, if it breaks down, I don't got the money to repair it. And if I have an accident, you know, it's going to hit your insurance." And he said, "Jeff," he didn't call me Pastor Jeff, he just called me Jeff. He said, "This isn't my truck. It belongs to God. And he can do anything with it he wants. This is what he's told me to do." Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to say, okay, anybody who wants to use my car, go ahead and use it. I'm not saying that. Listen. But that was Tony's attitude. And I understand something for myself. That has to be my attitude about everything I possess. It is not my own. It belongs to him. I want you to understand something. As I teach on this, there is no thought here of saying that you have to give every single thing that you own to the offerings in the church. I'm reminded of what God warned rich people in 1 Timothy 6:17, he said, "Let them that be rich in this world make sure that they use their money for the Lord's purposes." But then he made this statement at the end of that verse of 1 Timothy 6:17. He says, "That God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." What does that mean? That means exactly what it says. That God has given you whatever you make by your means of income, he's given you that money to enjoy. So if you want to go out after the service to McDonald's and live it up and get a small hamburger and a little strawberry milkshake, that's what we did rare occasions as a kid. My dad would take all the family out and get us one of those small hamburgers, or might get us a strawberry shake. That was a big deal as a kid. If that's what you want to do today, God has given you all things richly to enjoy. You want to go on a vacation? You've heard me over the years encourage it. God says, come apart and rest a while, and I think everybody needs to get away. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everything you give has to be put in the church offerings. But I do believe we need to understand the principle of giving. So, whether you agree with tithing, that it is a New Testament era doctrine, or whether you think we should just give offering out of a grateful heart, the reality is all we possess, our time, our talents, and the gift of our treasures actually belongs to God. What I do with God's gift of time and God's gift of talents and God's gift of treasures should come with that truth firmly anchored in my soul. God, before I do anything, before I spend my money in any way, before I use the gifts of talents that you give me in any way, or the time that you've given me. God, help me to understand that you possess it, and help me to use it wisely. And God will give you opportunities to enjoy what he's given you, both in your time and in your talents and in your treasures. God will do that for you. But folks, listen, we're Christians. We belong to him. That should be my attitude all along. So if you walk out of this auditorium unconvinced that New Testament believers should tithe, you're not going to make me angry. And I'm not going to look to pick a fight with anybody, because I've come to this conclusion concerning many things. When it comes to doctrinal questions in Scripture, you might put, that the things that are simple and plain I follow, and the things I don't fully understand, I go by the conscience, the convictions that God gives me personally, and not expect Sammy to follow exactly what I do, or Jessica to follow exactly what I do, or Jeff Sims to follow exactly what I do. I want us to have a freedom in Christ, as long as we understand that principle that he owns, possesses everything that we have. I think we need to understand that giving is an integral part of a believer's life. And my perspective, hopefully, will be that biblical perspective. Someone made this comment, don't know who said it, but I read it. It says, giving is not to be what is left over. And sometimes, if we're not careful, when we give to the Lord, whether tithe or offering or both, there's an attitude of, well, once I make this payment, take care of this, take care of that, I'll give if I have it to give. That may not totally be correct, because everything you notice in the Old Testament teaching about tithing and the New Testament doctrine on Christ giving himself, it was always this, Christ the first fruits. Christ the first fruits. He told the Jews, give of your first fruits, not what's left over. I was taught to tithe as a teenager. I was not taught it by my parents. I was taught in the church I attended. And those people in that church made such a great impression on me that I began to practice it. It is something that I have found to be a blessing in my life and not a burden. A blessing and not a hindrance for me personally. So giving, whether by means of free will offerings or tithe, is to be understood as a means really of worship and honor to Jesus Christ. You understand that now the church I work for in Atlanta, we did it differently. We never had ushers come and take an offering. Now, we did the first several years I was there for 11 years, but the last several years, the pastor said, we're not doing this anymore. We're going to have a box in the back, and you place your offerings and tithes in there. When he said that, I was on staff, I thought to myself, that's crazy. The income is going to go like that. Now listen, we had built a brand new structure. I mean, totally brand new. Much larger than the structure here. I thought, that's crazy. We need the money. You know what? We never struggled. Because if this is something that God does, now you say, well, is it wrong to have the ushers? No. I like to look at the guys in the bow ties. I think that's neat. I do like to see our young men get involved in ministry. That's good. That's very good. Doesn't matter how you get it. The point is, if we understand that this is something between God and myself, and this is something I worship God with, the time of offering is not a filler time in the service. It is an opportunity for you to worship. I believe we worship God with our fellowship. I believe we worship God in our singing. We worship God in hearing the word, and we worship God in our giving. It is all part of worship. So here's my thought to myself. So what is my Savior worth to me? I got a little bit left over. You're worth that much. I've got to stop and think. Remember, the attitude of Scripture, Old and New Testament, is first fruits, not what's left over. How many of you have ever heard of George Mueller? Let me see your hand. George Mueller. Now somebody tell me, just raise your hand. Somebody tell me what he is most famous for. Raise your hand. Okay, and how did he operate those orphanages? by faith. George Mueller, in fact, in our library, and some of you may not know this, we have a library, you can check books out. We have DVDs in there, movies you can check out. Anyway, that's a free for Stephanie and their family who run the library. It's free advertising. There are some books in there about George Mueller, and I've read his autobiography, and George Mueller genuinely operated by faith. He was a German who had gone to Oxford or one of the big schools there and happened to get saved while there at the university. And he remained in England and began to build orphanages. And as he ministered to the children of England, he made this commitment to God. He said, God, I'm never going to ask for help. Even if he went to a church, he did not appeal for funds. He did not appeal to the English government. He did not appeal to the businessmen of his areas. He simply said, God, I'm going to pray it in. And if you'll read those books, you'll find some amazing, amazing statements of how great his faith was. I did not know this for several years, and I've shared this with you before, that his faith was based on the Word of God. Now remember Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Mueller was an avid reader of God's Word, and from what records indicate, he read his Bible through from cover to cover over 200 times during his lifetime. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, he read the Word of God through from cover to cover. There's some young people here. If you start now, you can read it through 300 times. I'm serious. I know some people who are 250, 260 times through. You say, well, that's too much. Nah, can't get too much of a good thing, as they say. Now, this is what I want you to understand. I never knew this before. I found this out this week. In fact, this may have come from that pastor who doesn't believe in tithing for the New Testament church. This illustration of George Mueller, which I never knew. Did you know that George Mueller gave full support to 20 missionaries of the China Inland Mission from his own personal support? Money that he personally owned, he supported full-time 20 missionaries to the China Inland Mission. It went on to say, from 1831 to 1835, George Mueller gave away 86% of his personal income. He said, well, I know where we're going. You want us to give 86%. That's none of my business. That's one reason I took the advice from two godly men I served under and have kept my nose out from what you give, because it's none of my business. But what I am saying is George Mueller bought into what the Word of God taught, first fruits. You can't outgive God kind of mentality. And he was not only a great man of faith, and not only a great man of reading God's Word, he was a great man of giving. And many argue that the aspect of giving called tithe, and the word tithe means tenth, the tenth, was simply a command given in particular to the Jews under the Mosaic Law. In other words, it was just for Jews. And since tithe means tenth, we would all safely assume that the Israelites were to give God a tenth of all they possessed. And something else I learned, although I just finished reading through the book of Deuteronomy, and you know, you see the word tithe used numbers of times in the Mosaic teachings. So I want you to turn to some places before we close this morning. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, look at verses 5 and 6. Now remember, this is Old Testament teaching, a command to the Jews. I'm not saying to you this is something that we are to observe, but I want you to notice something I really never paid much attention to. Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we look at verses 5 and 6. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. In the beginning days, it was not Gibeon, the first place. But anyway, eventually it was Shiloh. Later on, it became Jerusalem. Different places where the tent, where the tabernacle, where people were to honor God and bring their tithes, that kind of thing. Verse 6, and thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings, and firstlings of your herd and of your flocks. He said, this is where you're to bring it, to this central place of worship. This is where you're to bring those things. And one of the things I just want you to notice is, one, there was a difference between tithe and offerings. We're not talking the same thing. They are two distinct things. Tithes are tithes, and offerings are offerings, and there are different categories of offerings. Very quickly, go back to Numbers 18, and look at verse 21. Numbers 18, verse 21. The main reason for the Jews' purposes in giving, not necessarily the same for us, but the reason the Jews were commanded to give was for that Levitical tribe. Numbers 18, 21, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 24, but the tithes of the children of Israel which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Now what's interesting is God also told the Levites who received the tithes to finance their ministry in the tabernacle, later on in the temple. He said, you Levites have to tithe also. Just so you know, I tithe, I give the faith promise, I give special offerings, I give to outside missions outside the church, I give to the building fund. You say you're showing off. Think what you want, but I want you to know, I'm not asking you to do something I do not personally do myself. I'm not asking you out and witness unless I'm witnessing myself. I don't ask you to pass out tracts unless I'm doing it myself. I don't ask you to read the Bible unless I'm doing it myself. I don't ask you to pray unless I'm doing it myself. I want you to understand that God has called me not only to preach the truth, but set an example, and I want to do that for you. And I do these things because I believe in it, and I have found God to honor it and to bless it. God gave two personal answers to prayer this week. Yes, it was awesome. It was very awesome. It's like, man, I have an awesome God. I have a great God. And I'm grateful for Him and His love for me. When we go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, look at verse 22. In my reading, some men advocate that there was more than one tithe that the Jews gave. And this was referenced as the second tithe. Deuteronomy 14, 22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And he goes on to explain it through verse 27. We won't take the time to read that. And then there's a third tithe mentioned in verses 28 and 29. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. This first offering that we mentioned in chapter 12 seemed to go to support the Levitical tribe. The second offering was used for festivals. As one man described it, it was a vacation for the Jews. They were required to leave their home place and go to that central place of worship, whether it was Shiloh, whether it was Jerusalem. And when they went, you didn't go free. It's like saying, let's go to Florida. Well, we don't have any money, but we're going anyway. Well, if you're going to go to Florida, you got to have some money, right? You know, you sometimes if you work for certain companies, they will give you a week of paid vacation. And it maintains a balance so that you could take that possibly and spend that to go somewhere to get some rest. The attitude apparently was there with the Jews. When you come for these special festivals, these celebrations before the Lord, it was like you can't come for free. So we're, in a sense, setting money aside. You are tithing for your own benefit. It's like setting money aside for vacation. That was the attitude for the Jews, apparently. And then this third one was a tithe that happened every 3 years. It was called it was a tithe every third year to give to the strangers, to the poor, and to the widow. Now, I don't know that I agree with this, but one of the men mentioned, he said, if you add that all up, he said the Jews were giving over 23% of their income yearly in tithes. I don't know if I agree with that, but he may be right. I haven't really done the math on it. I will mention to you the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus. How many have heard of Josephus? In the Book of Antiquities, made this statement, and I'm quoting him. It says, "In addition to the two tithes which I have already directed you to pay each other, the one for the Levites and the other for the banquets, ye should devote a third every third year to the distribution of such things as are lacking to the widowed and widowed women and orphan children." So Josephus, who was contemporary with the times of Christ, indicates in his writing that that mentality was there. There were three tithes that the Jews gave. And my point is, giving of the treasures that I possess is simply an important aspect of my life as a believer. And I should approach it just as much with a willing heart as I should approach giving my time and my talents with a willing heart. Now, I'm going to stop there this morning. And I haven't told you whether I think tithing is for today or not. In part, I don't know that that's necessarily important. Because if God possesses all of you, listen, more than likely, you're going to end up giving a whole lot more than 10%. Just a reality. Just a reality. Let's assume that tithing is not for the New Testament church. God does want us to give out of a grateful heart. When I stop and think about what my God has done for me, if He never answered my prayers, just based on October 31st, 1976, when He saved me from the pits of hell, I owe Him everything. So over the years, it's not been an issue for me to give, because you know what my money's doing? It's helping to win others to Christ. How can you beat that? And then I get rewarded for that. I'll continue this tonight if you want to hear it. And if you don't come. I'm serious. Listen, if you don't want to hear this, don't come. But I'll share with you some things, both from the Old and New Testament, that look at this subject of tithing. And at the end, you can make up your own minds. Because I found this, I've never been able to convince anybody. That has to be the job of the Holy Spirit. I have stood up here knowing that there are lost people in this service. I'm going to get them saved today. I haven't saved anybody, brother. I haven't changed anybody's mind. But there's a God in heaven who can. So if the Lord deals with you, praise His name. If the Lord doesn't deal with you, I'll let Him deal with you when He wants to. That's His business. I'm not trying to sound strange, or is facetious the right word to use here? I don't know what the right word to use here is, but I truly want this to be something that God ministers to you in your own heart concerning these things. Let's bow our heads for prayer.